Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday afternoon, 1:20. That means Brandon Adams joins the show, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Let's get your questions ready. We'll get the phone lines open. BA, how are you?
I am doing great. Hope you guys are enjoying a fun summer here and just getting ready for football season, which will be here before you know.
Yeah, we were just talking about this during the break because it's kind of there's kind of two schools of thought or two ways of looking at it right now. We always talk about SEC media days as, all right, football's right around the corner, which is true for Falcons training camp.
That's
like
right.
That'll start on Thursday. For someone who covers almost exclusively Georgia football and college football specifically, SEC media days happen, and then they go back away. And then we don't see them until the games start. Like, for your purposes, what is this little gap of time like?
Well, it's sort of an acceleration of the conversation, because if you're like me, you're sort of a college football obsessive. I speak every day to college football obsessives. We live in this world all the time. What Media Days creates is this situation where those who don't live and immerse themselves in college football 52 weeks of the year, well, now they've got opinions too. And that kind of changes, I think, the vibe around the SEC a bit, because all of a sudden you see a greater level of hype for this player, or this team, or whatever else. And so the nature of the conversations change. We have kind of gone back into a little bit of an off-season cadence again post-Media Days, but the conversation feels different because now a lot more pockets of what I sort of think of as like mainstream media, a lot more of them have sort of started to weigh in. And this sort of feels like the apex of talking season when people who don't talk college football 365 days a year, now they're talking about it too.
What about the fact that BA, they're right where they are and don't know a lot about this team? We really don't. Even us, you know, we love these dogs, but don't know a lot about them because there's not a lot of guys that we know of. Do you think they're ranked as high as they are because of Kirby?
I do, and I think that's an appropriate reason to do that. I mean, there is track record at play here, and the math nerds are better at this than I am, but they'll tell you that even though you cycle off your complete roster, at least theoretically, every 4 years, you know, five-year track record in college football is still pretty meaningful, and in some statistical models, even more meaningful than the NFL, even though theoretically it should be more of the same players, that what you've done previously is a pretty good prediction of what you'll do in the future. Now, that doesn't mean that just because Georgia won championships in 2021 and 2022, they're not going to do that in 2025. But if you rank them anywhere below your top five to begin the season, you run the risk of making a huge mistake. It's one of the reasons why, like, the gambling odds and things like that are never in line with the most outrageous kind of hot takes, is because the gambling odds know that, hey, what we've seen recently is a pretty good track record of what we might see this year. So the more outlandish predictions are always going to come from those that don't really have skin in the game.
We'll get to some of the talking season talking in a few minutes, because there were some comments over the last couple of days that were kind of interesting. I wanted to ask Kirby this when we had him on last week, and I didn't get a chance to. So I want to get your perspective on it, because you listen to him talk and listen to these coaches talk all the time. Do you think that the hardest part of his job today is the same thing that he would have said is the hardest part of his job 5 years ago?
No, I don't think anywhere close, because 5 years ago, the roster retention part of all this didn't exist back then. I mean, I think you still had some risk. Well, so-and-so might get mad and get homesick. And that was always the thing. It was like homesick, right? You might get homesick. You know, now it's just flat
now
out.
It's money sick.
Yeah, now it's just flat out transfer portal or holding out for more money. So I think Kirby, like every coach, will tell you, hey, knowing from month to month, and there's even a rumor in the SEC right now about so-and-so player, you know, might be mad at his team. And, I mean, even now, even now we've got, you know, some of that, you know, perhaps, you know, still going on. So roster retention is still – it's the biggest part of this. It's bigger than NIL, and that didn't exist 5 years ago. So that's clearly the new toughest part about being a college job and why they earn as much money as they make.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's always fun because we've been talking all day about college football, and we were talking about the ACC. I was listening a little bit at their media day. They were talking about SMU, BA. It's like they are going to be the ones that save the ACC because of their in their wheelhouse now as far as paying players. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I definitely think – look – ultimately, the ACC actually has something going for it that I would say the Big 12 can't say, is that I don't know how much, and I say this as a very pro-SEC guy, I don't know how much the ACC, quote-unquote, needs saving as long as they've got a small handful of teams that are legitimate national championship contenders. You know, Clemson, y'all, they're really deep right now. They're going to be very good
this
year.
They might be preseason number one.
They're going to be certainly in the top five at least, I would say. You know, Miami at least has some theoretical chance here, despite the fact that, you know, kids weren't even really alive the last time. You know, if you're an 18-year-old, you weren't even alive the last time Miami was really good. But at least theoretically they could be. Compare that to the Big 12, where that's the sort of geographic region that SMU would be closer to. There's no real legitimate national championship contender in the Big 12. It is a deeper league top to bottom. The worst teams in the Big 12 are far better than the worst teams in the ACC, but there is no legitimate championship contender. So if we're looking at the next two leagues beyond the SEC and the Big 10, honestly, as long as the ACC can hold on to Clemson, Miami, Florida State, for as long as they're able to do that, I think they have a reason for existing that I don't know that the Big 12 can necessarily equal.
Yeah, no, I agree. Brandon Adams joins us, talking Georgia football, college football in general here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Carson Beck spoke today at ACC Media Days. Obviously, Georgia fans are going to have an opinion one way or the other about his tenure at Georgia and now this year at Miami. Mm-hmm. How are you going to sort of watch that? You know, obviously it's not going to be your main focus, but how are you going to pay attention to him there? And what's going to be the, I don't know, general attitude towards his season?
So I would say as sports fans, whether it's pro sports, college sports, whatever, we speak in the language of comparisons. Sports fans are all like draft comps, whatever else. His understanding of history, this guy is like that guy. Comparisons are the biggest part of sports talk, kind of always have been. So comparing Gunner to Carson, it is inevitable. It's just sort of going to happen. Or the team success that Miami has compared to whatever Georgia's having, there'll be some of that that goes on too. However, as someone who sort of does this for a living, you got to be really, really careful because Georgia fans, maybe all fans are like this, Georgia fans definitely are, they are very present tense aware. In other words, they don't want to hear a bunch about what did happen, what was. Yeah. It's got to be what's happening now. And so if Georgia loses a commit or if a recruit chooses somewhere else, 5 seconds later, the refrain is,
we're on our way.
Yeah, why are we still talking about this guy? We didn't want him anyway. There's a lot of why are we still talking about this guy that sometimes creeps into it.
And it happened yesterday. What are you talking about?
This just happened, folks. But the point is like we won't be able to avoid some of the Beck-Gunner comparisons, but it would not be a good idea to drag it out more than you need to. Because there's a pretty strong fan revolt that comes when it comes to stuff like that.
This is just like Texas is out being – because Georgia has plenty of money, but they don't got Texas money? Or is it just like Kirby's like
– Well, if you ask Steve Sarkisian, that's not the truth because, you know, he got up there and said what he said last week at Media Day.
I hope they don't come for the money.
Which is the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. I mean, look, with the most recent Texas commit – and I know your whole audience doesn't follow recruiting, so I'll keep this sort of, you know, broad. But the most recent Texas commit, Derek Cooper on Sunday, y'all – he didn't take an official visit to Texas. Throughout the entirety of his recruitment, I think he only went to Austin one time. So the idea that that recruitment is not specifically about money, it strains the imagination given the fact that he didn't go there frequently enough to have much in the way of relationships. And listen, if Texas got the money and they're buying all these players and they're flaunting the terms of the House settlement, they ought to brag about it. I mean, it's good to have money. If I had money, I'd be throwing it around all over the place. I'd make sure everybody knew.
Yeah,
if I
was
rich,
there'd be signs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you'd know.
You'd know.
apparently, Texas doesn't quite want to do it that way, but the circumstantial evidence obviously suggests that they are, for the most part, buying these players.
Maybe he went on, like, a virtual tour.
Maybe
you know?
So.
Like, sometimes on the websites, they offer those virtual Zoom tours.
Yeah, stuff. Maybe he's nostalgic for COVID and just wants to go back and sort of do all this via the magic of Zoom.
Maybe. Hey, speaking of people that don't normally talk about college football, and when they do, we don't always care about it, Colin Cowherd was talking about how the SEC is not going to be able to compete with the Big Ten because of, like, market size and different, like, money hubs in the country. What did you take out of that commentary?
So
anything.
Ultimately, there is at least one kernel of truth in this, that the biggest divide that exists in the SEC versus Big Ten war is about urban versus rural.
Okay.
Not every Big Ten team is in a major city, but they're kind of close to them a little bit, and a lot of their graduates live in big cities. The SEC is a rural league, and it just is. And so I would say the Big Ten has leaned on that advantage somewhat, and it's one of the reasons why maybe ESPN doesn't talk as much college football as they should, because – they're sort of a big city network serving big city sports fans, at least in their mind. That's true. So this is always going to be the challenge for college football and college athletics in general. There is a very intense strain of kind of rural, is it rurality, is that the word? Sort of a rural nature to the fan base. So there is a degree to which that's true. But the best players in America still reside in the South, and that's always going to be the kind of, I guess, counterpoint to that for the Big Ten is they got to come down here to get their players. The SEC doesn't have to go up to the frigid north to get its players. And that's always going to be a huge advantage for the
more
SEC.
More likely to not finish the job, finish the year as a head coach, Napier or Sam Pittman?
Well, I think Sam Pittman would be happy to retire. I think he'd go live on the lake tomorrow if he could. I'm not sure he even still wants this job. But I definitely think that Napier, who's getting a lot of love right now, he's in a dangerous, precarious position because we forget stuff so fast. In November, which technically speaking is not that long ago, certainly less than a year ago, everybody's like, he's got to get fired, and if he stays, he better make these major offensive changes. All of that just kind of went away because they won four games to conclude the season, and now they're like being treated as a fringe playoff contender. To me, of all of the sort of offseason hype, the love for Florida, obviously Georgia fans, so perhaps this is biased, but the love for Florida seems the weirdest to me because they just seem really on the sort of precarious perch of a very, very significant collapse if they're not careful. They still play a really tough schedule.
I don't even think – I mean, November, yeah, but it was earlier in the year than that last year. I mean, they lost to Miami in the first game, right? Got really well smoked.
They got destroyed.
Yeah, they got smoked.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Texas A&M, and they were 1-2.
Yeah.
Like, there were odds that he wasn't going to make it out of September last year. And then they won a couple, right? And then they lost to Tennessee and obviously Georgia. And then they went on that run late. But again, the run late was only a couple games. Like, I don't know. I'm with you. Like,
Lagway's the real deal at quarterback. Yeah. But against that schedule, it may not be enough to save a coach that, as you say, last fall was pretty embarrassing.
It's just such a great example of how quarterback hype leads to so much in this sport.
Yes,
it's a big part of why Georgia is just not a headline team now because nobody knows much about Gunnar Stockton. Big part of why Texas is being talked about everywhere because Manning.
That's right.
And why Florida is getting the credit they're getting because of DJ Lagway.
I think that's exactly right.
Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate you, B.